back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are kidding with Ryan McLeod there at the end about Lady Bing votes, and he only had 10 minutes in penalties. And you know where my question was also rooted, because a previous winner of the award multiple times, Andre Kopitar, had that late season incident where the refs tossed everybody off the ice.
Yes.
And so he was given a 10. He's like, there goes my Lady Bing chance again.
And that's when, like, I remember, like, it was like basically the very famous soundbite with the referees. 2 minutes for a roughing, and everybody else on the ice gets a 10. Like, basically, he didn't even bother calling the numbers and the names. He said everybody else.
You know what was interesting hearing Ryan talk? And you know, we ask questions, but sometimes you think about it a little harder. There's no real great way to answer it. When, like, what could he possibly say or take away from playing with Dreisaitl and McDavid?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if everybody knew what to take away from Wayne Gretzky when they played with him, they would be up here. But that's why they're so great, is even though you see it, there are only so few people that can actually do it. And you can only hope to just take the other intangibles that are not seen. Right.
Well, you mentioned Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and practice habits. And I think that's really important, because Connor McDavid, I saw practice habits of a 17-year-old Connor McDavid with the Erie Otters. I was like, I've never really seen that at the NHL level. I've seen it with some players, but a 17-year-old being mature enough to be that quick, that good in practice. Mm-hmm. And obviously that has led to McDavid leadership with the Oilers and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins being able to, like, Ryan McLeod says, you know, RNH, every time he comes down in practice, he scores.
Wild,
like, he always scores.
Yeah.
And that is incredible to me to think of that. And, as you know, somebody, when I was doing that draft last night, I believe, you know, either Adam or Mike Schoep asked to me a question about Dominik Hasek. You know, could you have learned anything from Dominik Hasek? And I'm like, that's a question I get all the time. No, I could not stop the puck the way Dominik Hasek did it. Like, rolling sideways and, you know, do two-pad stacking and throwing the blocker in the air. But what Dominik Hasek did in practice that I would always pay attention to, number one, the competitive level.
Right.
He never wanted to get beat, right? So he'd do anything that to make a save. And two, we would do goalie drills. Okay, you start on the left post. You push to the top of the crease. You come back to your right post. You go post to post. You come back up, and then you get a shot. His skating ability in the crease was what, I believe, set him apart, because he was able to be moving around the crease faster than anybody else, which is what you need as a goalie. And I'm like, so I could learn from Dom how good of a skater he was. Henrik Lundqvist was the same way. I tried to play like Lundqvist in practice. I'm like, I'm going to stay deep. I'm going to let... And I was getting burned. Like, pucks were going by me. I'm like, that's not me. But Lundqvist, the way that he skated and the way that he moved and his edge work, and I'm like, I can learn that. Nobody's Connor McDavid. Nobody's Leon Draisaitl. But when you watch them, you can say, hey, I can do this more and more like them, right? Mm-hmm. I can. Ryan McLeod's got a ton of speed. Mm-hmm. How do you be able to get better by watching Connor McDavid when you have – a top end speed in yourself, and you say, okay, look at how he handles the puck when he's skating to be able to throw the players off and be able to use misdirection. That's what you have to learn from playing with great players like that.
Best, most reasonable offensive projection you would have at this moment for Ryan McLeod?
Well, what it was last year, last season, he had
12 and 30,
12 goals, 18 assists. I think, and the year before that, he had 11 goals in 57 games and 23 points. I think 30 is the bare minimum. I think I could see.
But if he gets to 15 goals and 40 points, how much does this bolster people's opinions of value brought in the form of Ryan McLeod?
I was thinking 15 and 20, like 15 goals, 25 assists, 40 points.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Is the I'm not going to say the minimum, but I'm saying that's the lower end of the threshold of, you know what? He's doing exactly what a third line center coming in that trade should be able to produce.
And it doesn't sound unrealistic in the sense of a fourth full year in the NHL, 6 years pro, same age dynamic as most of the core of this team, and presumably opportunity at times to play with people that are capable of scoring. Yeah. Like, what if it's Zach Benson, right? Like, what would you reasonably expect for Zach Benson, who did so much right in his first year, but was not a booming scorer, but you would expect Benson could go from 10 to closer to 20, maybe between 15 and 20, right? Yeah, that's not unrealistic.
Not unrealistic, and 15 is good. But also, look, Casey Mittelstadt, right? Like, had the great year 2 years ago. Everybody had the great year 2 years ago, but he had 15 goals. If Ryan McLeod's 15 goals, you're saying, hey, we had Mittelstadt as a...
Casey was lauded as a big playmaker, obviously. It was never about the goals for Casey,
But he was still a third-line center. And at the end of the day, a lot of his points were, well, he was a power play guy. And, I mean, 2 years ago, he ended up with 16 power play points. Right. Okay. That's 43.
When the power play was more impactful.
I'm not saying that Ryan McLeod should compare himself to Casey Mittelstadt, but there's a lot of other things that Ryan McLeod is going to do that Casey Mittelstadt was not on the team to do. And if you get to 40 points, you're absolutely filling that role. There's going to be other guys that will get to, you know, 25, 30 goals, 60, 70 points. That's not Ryan McLeod's job. I don't think so. Could he get there eventually? Yeah. He said he's still working on his offensive production, always trying to feel more and more comfortable. But 15 goals, 25 assists, I think is a really solid number.
Yeah, I think people would sign up every single... I'm going to say that would be unanimous among people that reach out to us on a regular basis on this show. I think if you said right now, Ryan McLeod coming in this offseason deal is going to be your 3C and improve his point totals to career highs in 15 goals and 40 points, I think every single Sabres fan would be happy about that. Now, the question is, do you think if McLeod is being utilized more in a defensive posture as a 3C and as a penalty killer and presumably later game situations, do you foresee any scenario where he would be depth on the second power play unit?
I don't. And I because we kind of had that, you know, comment on social media today, somebody said, hey, I see him as a 3C penalty kill one and power play two. That was Jeff, right? So Jeff at, he's got a weird handle on X, but that's okay. Jeff, we've got you. Here's where I don't see Ryan McLeod on the second power play. I see him taking a lot of pride into that third line center. I know we talk about faceoffs, and Lindy Ruff always has that one person that he usually trusts a lot when it comes to faceoffs. Mm-hmm. Somebody on X had an exchange with me yesterday about Paul Gostad and, you know, how Lindy trusted Gostad in certain situations. Faceoffs only matter when they matter, but when you have somebody you trust in those situations, it's a little bit more important. So there's the one role, penalty kill number one or two, but one of the top four forwards on the penalty kill, I think, is doesn't matter if it's PK one or two, one of the top four.
Right.
But when I do my power play projection for next year, I have three defensemen out of the 10 players being on the power play. So I think you
have
three defensemen, seven forwards, and I don't see Ryan McLeod being one of the seven forwards. Right. I see, you know, maybe Zucker up there. I see Thompson, Tuck, Cousins, Peterka, Quinn. I see Benson potentially. I see Greenway potentially. I don't see Ryan McLeod being put in that situation.
Right. And just to, you know, reiterate, like, from a penalty killing standpoint, did you know that Buffalo was ahead of Edmonton in the regular season last year, or was that
Yeah, no, I did know because we talked about
like by the smallest of fractions.
Yeah, but the Sabres being better on the penalty kill, but the run the Oilers had in the playoffs was just unbelievable,
historic. But it is worth revisiting here, just as the form of factual reset as to what actually happened last year. The Sabres ranked 23rd in goal scoring last year. Mm-hmm. That's a tough place to make the playoffs from. Their power play ranked 29th. That's a tough place to make the playoffs from. In fact, only one of the bottom 12 power plays in the NHL last year made the playoffs. That was the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. Nobody else did.
And they won the Jennings Trophy.
Right. Now, on the flip of it, the Sabres did rank tied for 11th in goals against last year. And you're thinking, how is that possible? All we're doing is talking about improving defensively, and yet their goals against was below 3. But here's the thing. Their penalty kill was also 13th.
Yep.
It's good. It's improved, right? But their penalty kill was still below 80%. Mm-hmm. And despite the top 11 goals against, it was still right around 3. The challenge here is we have to reset what's good in today's NHL, because most of the time we've been talking about the diminishing save percentage, right? The 920 yeah. elite level, but now you're happy if somebody lands in a 908 because the game has changed. So we have to do that with the penalty kill also. Like at the end of the day, I wasn't enamored with the Sabres penalty kill because I'm like, it's 79%.
It's not 80%.
It's not even 80%. But you have to keep it in perspective. In today's more offensive NHL, it's really good. And then, as Ryan pointed out, things tighten in the playoffs, and all of a sudden the Oilers are where they are because they went to 94%.
Yeah, and they had this streak of 30-some power plays or whatnot.
It's fascinating, though, isn't it? Because I feel like for a long time we lived with very similar numbers, and you just get into a habit of forming an opinion based on, you know, some kind of generic NHL numbers. And I think we have to be very cognizant that a lot of these are shifting right now. So you have to put it in the proper perspective here. So
I did like that Don Granato last year started, and 2 years ago started using, you know, and we talked to Shayna Goldman about that, the power kill, some higher end personnel to play penalty kill. Tage Thompson did some penalty killing. Alex Tuck did some killing. Cousins did some killing. But I think the way that Kevin Adams is building this roster and is going to be, okay, you're going to see McLeod on the penalty kill. You're going to see Obi Kubel potentially, or Lafferty, or Malenstein, or Krebs, or Greenway. You're going to see those guys, which to me, what that is, like we talk about getting better defensively. Yes, because now you're hoping that you're going to unlock Thompson and Cousins and Quinn and Tuck to be able to say, hey, our game is offense. Mm-hmm. Like we're not spending 2.5-3 minutes killing penalties and having this wired in our head that we have to be so good defensively. No, our role is to score. Our role is to score, and will be to score. Other guys' role will be to defend. That's where I think it unlocks the scoring if those new additions really do their job where they're supposed to. And Ryan McLeod is a big part of that, you know, being good defensively and killing penalties so that Paige doesn't have to.
Not a huge minutes guy on the penalty kill, but certainly reasonable to assume that he will be one of the most utilized forwards in that role. As you're rolling out this current group of Sabres forwards and basing it off of last year's usage, Jordan Greenway comes in as the forward who had the most shorthanded time on ice. Now, he was in that top five league position among forwards and shorthanded time on ice all year long. So this is not a surprise. Greenway was at 254 per game of shorthanded time on ice.
Yep.
Next in line now would be Beck Malenstein, who played 237. And then after that, it's actually now, I think, very interesting to see how the rest get deployed, because Cousins would be third on that list at a minute 36. McLeod was a minute 14. And Jack Quinn was a minute 8.
Yeah.
So, pardon me, I missed Tuck. Tuck was in there just ahead of Cousins. He was at 137. So the list would be Greenway, Malenstein, Tuck, Cousins, McLeod, Quinn.
There's three guys up there.
Do you think there would be less for Tuck and Cousins moving forward now because of McLeod?
Yeah, I think it would be less for Tuck, Cousins, and Quinn.
But do you really think Cousins is still someone who should be counted on more also in the PK role, or would you utilize Tuck because of his potential breakaway speed, which is a threat more on the penalty kill, which I think is why we felt we enjoyed seeing him out there in those situations?
I do enjoy having a Tuck or Cousins on the ice, but the way that I would start the season is not having them as penalty killers at all. Okay. Is saying no, look, your job is to be at 82-83%. And I don't care if we end up the season with 3 shorthanded goals instead of 8. That's only 5 goals. I want to score 50 more than we did last year. And I'm not going to trade the 5 penalty shorthanded goals for the 50 more at 5-on-5 in power play that I would like the team to be able to jump forward. So I think Tuck, Cousins, Quinn, no, let's get them off. Maybe
okay,
they
so
play
if Greenway,
20 seconds a game. Not
if Greenway, Malenstein, and McLeod are your top 3 forward time on ice shorthanded, who's the fourth? You ultimately need 6 to do the job, but who would be the fourth then in this group?
Well, it could be a Benson in that role. It could be a Krebs in that role. It could be an Obi Kubel in that role.
Yeah, Lafferty and Obi Kubel have not recently
They've
killed
not
penalties,
really killed. So, I know Lafferty definitely didn't. But I could see those guys in that role a little bit more. Yeah. And look, again, do you need a 20-second guy at the end of the penalty kill to jumpstart? Okay, let's get back on the 5-on-5 rhythm. Yeah. Use Tuck there. Use, Cousins there. Have those guys ready. But I would definitely say that the minute and a half that Tuck had, if it gets to be 30 seconds a game on average, I'd be very happy with that.
We're seeing.
Did
reports.
You hear my phone go off, by the way?
No, I don't hear much, but my air conditioning is roaring right now, so that's probably why.
It's the emergency alert service, tornado warning in the area until 1:15, so be safe, everybody. It looks like it's pretty bad out there.
Yes, indeed, and we're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.